say that it is good to be in your house, Father. We love you so much, and in your name we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated.
Well, amen. Amen. Okay, if you've got a Bible, I hope you do, open it to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be beginning verse 13 and going through verse 24. And so give you a few seconds to find that. Stephanie, thank you. That was a beautiful offertory. That was beautiful, man. That's one of my favorite hymns. Yeah, thank her for that. Thomas, you did pretty good too, man. let's pray as we get started. Father, as I come to you tonight, I come to you, Father, asking for your help, that you would speak through me, God, that you would just hide me and get me out of the way. Don't let me say anything to confuse people or cast doubt in people, Father, but help me just speak what you want to be said, nothing more, nothing less. God, help us to hear tonight and help us to receive your word, to ponder your word, and most importantly, to respond and do what your word asks us to do. As we talk tonight about the blessings of wisdom, give us a hunger and a heart to know wisdom. In Jesus' name, and all God's people would say, amen. All right, well, we just celebrated the 4th of July, the day that the Declaration of Independence was signed, when 56 men risked everything by signing their names to that document. Probably the most famous and often quoted line in the Declaration is the second sentence that says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And I think one of the reasons those that sentence is quoted so often, known so well, is because it strikes a chord in the human heart. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, especially the pursuit of happiness. I mean, most people I know want to be happy, right? Nobody gets up in the morning and says, "Today I think I'm going to be unhappy." We don't intentionally set out to be unhappy. We want to be happy. As a matter of fact, people will go to all kinds of lengths, do all kinds of things, go all kinds of places, and buy all kinds of things to be happy. Matter of fact, there's a movement today, the happiness movement. There's what's called positive psychology, and there's research into the science of happiness. I have a book that I read last year that talks about the pursuit of happiness. And there's a lot of research going on today. And so while that is, you know, most of us, I think, want to be happy and want to be well and have a life full of happiness, I want us tonight to look at what the Scripture says about happiness. And it talks a lot about it, but tonight's passage starts out. About happiness. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 24, we're just going to go by this verse by verse. Now, let me give you a little context. These verses, especially verses 13 through 18, are really a poem or a hymn, if you will, about the supreme value of wisdom, about how wisdom brings us happiness. Solomon personified wisdom, and we've already talked about this, as a beautiful and generous woman. And Solomon tells us that we are to get her at any cost, because when we do, we'll be blessed and we'll be happy. Later in the New Testament, Paul tells us that Jesus is the personification of wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he said, "It is from him that you're in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us." And I believe that wisdom is not just an idea. Wisdom is not just a skill. Wisdom is not just a thought. Wisdom is a person, and his name is Jesus. And so I want us to look tonight at what this text tells us about the blessings of wisdom, about pursuing wisdom and finding wisdom. Number one, it says wisdom brings us happiness. Verse 13, look at what he says. I'm reading tonight from this Christian Standard Bible you read from your translation. He says, happy is a man who finds wisdom and who acquires understanding. The King James says, blessed is the man. This is the first of eight Beatitudes in the book of Proverbs. To be happy, to be blessed. And this Hebrew word is plural. It is the blessings, the blessednesses of wisdom. It appears at the beginning of this hymn and poem, and it begins, it also appears again in verse 18 at the very end of this poem. It bookends this thing. And the Hebrew word for blessed means to be favored by God. The New Testament, it means to be fully satisfied. It refers to the receiving of God's favor regardless of the circumstances. Now, many define happiness or being blessed by the happiness around them. But the happiness that the Bible talks about comes from God and is independent of the happenings around us. One writer says this, Scripture shows that blessing is anything God gives that makes us fully satisfied in Him. Anything that draws us closer to Jesus. Anything that helps us relinquish the earthly and hold on more tightly to the eternal. And so by that definition, we're blessed when God gives us His favor. And also when the trials and tribulations of life come, we can see those as a blessing because they help us understand that we need to relinquish our hold on the earthly and we need to seek God more, and it pushes us toward God. So wisdom brings us happy. And it's the wise man, the wise woman that can understand that, that understand that it's wisdom. It's not wealth. It's not fame, it's not fortune, but it's wisdom. Because wisdom helps us to see things from God's perspective, even the difficult things of life, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. It gives us insight and understanding. And Solomon says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and who acquires understanding. Secondly, in verses 14 and 15, it tells us that wisdom is better than material wealth. Look at what Solomon says. He personifies wisdom as a beautiful woman. For she is more profitable than silver, and her revenue is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can equal her. Wisdom is better than money. Solomon says, wisdom is better than stuff. Wisdom is better than anything we want. Why? Well, the Scripture gives us a number of reasons. First of all, because wisdom cannot be lost or destroyed, and wealth can. Jesus told us in Matthew 6 that if we lay up stuff down here, moth can get to it, rust can get to it, thieves can get to it, the government to tax people can get to it, the socialists desperately want our money so they can do what they want to do. Somebody can get to it, but in heaven it can't be, and wisdom cannot be lost, cannot be destroyed. Wisdom also is better than material wealth because wisdom shapes us into the kind of person that can truly enjoy the things we have in their proper context. For example, a wise man understands that money can put food on the table, but cannot put fellowship around the table. A wise person can understand that money can buy a house, but money can't make a home. A wise person understands that money can buy jewels for a woman, but not love. See, wisdom is better. Wisdom is better in all respects because it gives us spiritual and physical and relational blessings. Proverbs teaches, as we go through the book of Proverbs, as you read it, Proverbs says that wisdom creates happy homes. Wisdom creates loving marriages. Wisdom gives us treasures beyond any price tag. Wisdom is better than stuff because, as I've already said, wisdom is ultimately a person. It is found in Jesus Christ, who referred to himself as the pearl of great price or a treasure in the field. He is worth giving up everything in order to have him. Sometimes, though, we will say something like this. I need Jesus plus. For me to be truly happy, I need Jesus plus blank. I need Jesus plus a wife or a husband. I need Jesus plus a nice car. I need Jesus plus the perfect vacation or financial security or whatever. And folks, the reality is whatever we put in that blank is what you desire more. Because Jesus is enough. Wisdom is better than anything we can desire, because it helps us to enjoy what we have, and it helps us to be aware that all we have comes from our gracious God, and it helps us to know Him in His grace, and all the riches of glory have been given to us in who? Christ Jesus the Lord. Wisdom is better than stuff. Amen. Thirdly, wisdom will give us a good and long life, or a prosperous and long life. Verse 16, Solomon goes on to say, long life is in her right hand. That's the hand of preference, the hand of power. And in her left are riches and honor. Remember in 1 Kings chapter 3 when Solomon was in the temple and the Lord told Solomon to ask for anything he wanted and it would be given to him? That's a great request. Solomon, you ask for anything and I'll give it to you. And you remember what Solomon asked for? He asked for wisdom. And God gave that to him, didn't he? Along with riches and long life and victory over his enemies. Here Solomon is telling us that getting wisdom above all else will add long life to us. And it's not only the quantity of life, but also the quality of life. We live longer, and the life we live is blessed because of the wise and pleasant paths we choose. That wisdom helps us. Wisdom helps us to avoid the things that lead to early death and early disease. We avoid living the life of the ungodly and engaging in risky behavior like sexual immorality or violence or not controlling our tongue or temper or not caring for oneself. Proverbs tells us all of these things. Solomon tells us that all these things can lead to an early death. Wisdom can also give us riches and honor. Honor speaks of a good reputation. We have riches because we don't spend money foolishly. We save for the downtimes. We're like the ant. We store up as needed. We work instead of being lazy. And the ultimate riches, though, and the ultimate honor that he talks about are not found here on earth, folks. Contrary to what's going popular opinion, your best life is not here. The best riches you're ever going to get are not here. The best honor you're going to ever get is not here. But it's going to be the day when we stand before the Lord and they're heavenly in nature, when Jesus says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And the riches we receive in glory will far outshine and outweigh and outlast any riches we get here on earth. Remember, we've already talked about this. Proverbs are not promises, but they're statements of general truth. But proverbs are always ultimately true. We say, well, Pastor, I know some pretty good people, and they're not very much honored, or they don't have a lot of money. Well, let me tell you something, folks. One day that'll change. One day when we stand before Jesus, that will change. That will change. Wisdom gives us a prosperous and long life. Next, verse 17 tells us that wisdom will lead us down peaceful and pleasant paths. Her ways are pleasant, Solomon says, and all her paths peaceful. Now back in Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon describes for us the dark and twisted paths that lead to destruction. Listen to what he says. Proverbs 2, 12 through 15. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong, and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked, and their ways are wrong. In contrast, wisdom helps us find pleasant paths. The word pleasant means delightful, friendly, not the wrong ones. And we find peace, though. Hebrew word is shalom as we go. And peace in the Old Testament and the New Testament is not just the absence of conflict. It is the presence of God. It is a sense of well-being in the presence of God, that we're at peace with God. He is at peace with us, and we have this sense of shalom, a sense of well-being in our soul, that as we sing sometimes, it is well with my soul. Wisdom will lead us down pleasant and peaceful paths. Verse 18 tells us that wisdom is the path to eternal life. It says, she is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and those who hold on to her are happy or blessed. There it is, the other blessed in here. The tree of life. She is like a tree of life. That's only mentioned here and in Genesis and in Revelation. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, Moses says, "The Lord God calls to grow out of the ground every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food, including the tree of life in the middle of the garden, as well as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." In Genesis chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "The Lord God said, since the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he must not reach out and take from the tree of life, eat and live forever." In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, in the garden, the tree is a source of eternal life. It is a source of immortality. And then in Revelation, it's mentioned several times. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus' letter to the Ephesian church, in the closing of it, it says, "Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." The tree of life has been transplanted. Did you know that? It is no longer in the garden. It is in the paradise of God. And then in chapter 22, verse 2, and it describes glory, and it says, the river, on either side of the river that flows from the throne of God, the tree of life is on both sides of the river, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. That goes back to imagery found in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 12. The tree on both sides of the river. You know, how many of you have ever got stuck on one side of the river and you need to get to the other side of the river? You know, well, in heaven, there's not going to be the wrong side of the tracks. There's not going to be the wrong side of the river. It's going to be on both sides. And notice this tree is always, the fruit is always fresh, because 12 different kinds of fruits that bears fruit every month. Even the leaves of the tree bring wellness and healing and wholeness into our, for the nations. This calls us back to Eden. In verse 13, the word man is the Hebrew word Adam. Adam. And here Solomon is letting us know that what was lost in Eden, and that which separated humanity from God, is now made available to us through wisdom. If we humble ourselves and take hold of wisdom, it says, take hold of Jesus, we will receive what was lost in the garden, the tree of life and the shalom of living in harmony with the Father. We will walk with Him and talk with Him in the garden. And Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well. Wisdom is the path to eternal life. The wise will seek Jesus. The wise understand there's more to life. The wise will find that wisdom is a tree of life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life." Verses 19 and 20, wisdom helps us understand how the world works. Listen to what Solomon says. "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew." Solomon tells us that God created the universe by wisdom. There's a wise order to creation. Creation works and worked in a certain way according to wisdom. But the fall broke that and the fall distorted it. But that doesn't mean that things don't work by wisdom, because some things still work by wisdom. And the wise, we can still see the wise order in this world. For example, Proverbs tells us to observe the ants, because there's wisdom there. Proverbs tells us that a soft answer turns away wrath. There's still wisdom. There's still remnants of the wisdom of creation. Proverbs tells us that dishonest judges will destroy a society. We've seen that in history. There are glimpses of wisdom. Wisdom gives us the ability to perceive God's order and live by it, even in this broken world. It's hard sometimes to see that, but wisdom helps us to see it. And to try to go against God's order is foolishness. But wisdom helps us to understand how the world works. It helps us to find how God is at work. It helps us to understand the ways that are foolish and the ways that are dangerous. And it helps us to understand how the world works. Some people say, well, we need to be conversant with the television. We need to listen to read these books, and we need to watch these things, and we need to have life experience, you know, and I need to let my kids do this and see all this kind of stuff and play the things because I don't want my kids to be handicapped. Folks, listen to me. The best thing you can do for your kids and for young people today to get them ready to live in the world is steep them in the Word of God, especially Proverbs. The wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God will show them how the world works. Because the world doesn't work like CNN tells us. The world doesn't work like Fox tells us. The world doesn't work like we think or like the dreams and fantasies we have. The world works by God's wisdom, and it's broken and sometimes it's distorted, but wisdom can help us understand how it should work and the things that should go when we read God's word and receive his wisdom. And when we follow Jesus, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust in the way. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Wisdom helps us understand how the world works. And one more thing. Verses 21 through 24. Wisdom will give us peace of mind. Listen to what he says. My son, he stops and he pleads with his son. You know, Solomon's son was Rehoboam, so this may have been Rehoboam, one of his sons. But he pleads, he says, my sons, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and an adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Solomon appeals to his son. He's begging his son to not lose sight of wisdom and discretion, not to get distracted or not to get, you know, his focus off of those things. He says, son, don't let wisdom out of your sight. Because wisdom will change your life. It will impact the internal. It will give you life for your soul. And the external, he says, it will be an adornment for your neck. In other words, it will enhance your appearance. Wisdom makes you look better. Wisdom makes you look better. Because have you ever noticed what sin does to people? Have you ever noticed what rebellion and hatred and bitterness does to people? How people start looking all drawn up and okay. But here he says, wisdom will be like an adornment to your neck. It'll make you look better. Solomon's point here is that wisdom will keep us out of trouble. We walk in safety during the night and sleep peacefully at night because we haven't done foolish things that cause us to stay awake all night worrying about getting caught or the consequences or going down crooked, narrow paths full of traps and booby traps and all kinds of danger. If we get wisdom, we'll ultimately be safe. Because God watches over his people day and night. And because Jesus has promised to never leave us alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The fear of God is not only the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is also the way to true happiness. Now and in eternity. Folks, true happiness, and most of you know this, is not found at Walmart. True happiness is not found on Wall Street. It is found when you find wisdom. And where do we find wisdom? According to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, we find it when we come to Jesus because Jesus has become God's wisdom to us. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He's more precious than gold, more beautiful than diamonds. One of my faith heroes, George Beverly Shea, wrote a song that says it better than I could. So you can sing it with me if you want. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-scarred hands than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread swain. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today. Yes, riches are nice. Long life is something most of us hope for. Having a good reputation is precious. Being able to sleep in peace at night is priceless. But folks, I wanted you to know something tonight. Jesus is better than any and all of those things put together. Seek Him above all else. And as we do, we just might find that Jesus adds these other things to us in the process. Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, just help us tonight to understand the deep, rich, vast treasure of wisdom. Help us to know that true happiness is found when we find wisdom. When we find Jesus, who will lead us and teach us and help us and protect us and provide for us and bless us with the riches of glory. Thank you for that. And I pray tonight, Father, as we come to this time of invitation, that if we would say, well, to be really happy, Lord, I need you plus. God, you just help us to get rid of the plus and help us to know that it's Jesus, period. And help us to be like Brother George sang so beautifully and wrote so wonderfully. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords. And God, if there's people in this room tonight that don't know you and don't know that kind of wisdom, I pray tonight they'll say, enough is enough. Lord, I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. Lord, I turn to you. Maybe some of us tonight just need that hunger. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Give us that, Father. Whatever we need tonight, Father, whatever you want to do among us, help us to do that as we have this time of invitation. God, may this altar be open. May our hearts be open. May we be moving in Jesus' name. Let's sing.